Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
Oh, what's going on, faithful? It is as good a day as we could have because we're 9 days away. 9 days away from the NFL draft, and I'm here with my good friend Wayne Breezy. How are we doing? The Wayne Breezy, I have to say that. Capital T.
It's Tuesday, so we are Tony the Tiger great on a Tuesday. They're great. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, I'm so pumped just for how close we are. The draft is close. We're getting there.
View is close. You know what I'm saying? We are together today.
We always do this view, but I didn't know Wayne prefers this view. And yeah, so man. We bringing it in, man. You can't even see me flexing. That's what you can't see.
No, anyway. It's okay. It's okay. You know?
Yeah, do the Popeye. Like, you know,
right. Right.
I love it. So, man, we've got a lot of fun stuff that I want to cover today. I did a little bit of a historic research project just on this idea of, are the 49ers a good drafting team? Just looking at the last 5 years, some of their shots were the results were pretty shocking comparing them against the Rams, against the Seahawks, against the Cardinals. We'll talk about that. You did a mock draft where you drafted one of my Rush Crush players. So I'm going to be very I want to dive into that just a little bit and just a bunch of generic questions about the draft, the Q&A format, just helping to understand exactly what's going on with the 49ers as we are 9 days away from the NFL draft. We're going to get some new players. And shout out to my man Yacek right here. He said, would you say the 49ers historically are a swing for the fences draft team or a safe player that fits kind of draft team? What would you say to that?
Yeah, they've been since 2017. They've been safe players that fit. They really don't. I guess in their first draft, you may say they went swinging for the fences, but, you know, I still don't get the Solomon Thomas pick. I understood the Reuben Foster trade back into the first round.
Because we all loved that one.
We all loved him coming out of Alabama, I believe, right? And so he was a hard-hitting mother fricker. You know what's funny? Reuben Foster was pre-Fred Warner, yo.
Some of the best college tape I've ever seen of any position, consistently amazing everything. It was some of the best college tape. There's a couple, like I follow a lot of retro accounts, like That Dude Rocked or Classic 80s Sports or whatever. And they just play like stuff that's not relevant anymore, but it's just awesome. And it's just highlights from like, you know, 90s basketball or whatever. And it reminds me a lot of NFL films, but there was a Reuben Foster cut up. You know, about a week ago, and like I watched it three times through, and it was just like, good Lord. But the player off the field has to be the player on the field.
Definitely has some red flags, right? I remember the medical in the medical room. There was a red flag in the medical room, not from a medical, just him not wanting to be tested in a certain way, right?
Yeah, went off on the doctor person. And then Nick Saban had the funny thing, like, well, if you're looking for candy stripers, he might not be your guy. And then after that, they never talked to Nick Saban again. You remember they had the pro day, I think it was for Mac Jones, and John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan were there and refused, like literally walked past. Like that relationship is...
That was tarnished. Yeah. Wow. You think all they no him. Longer talk to Herm Edwards now that the Brandon Ayuk situation is the way? Okay.
Nah, Herm Edwards was in John Lynch's wedding. You know what I mean? Like, that's a whole nother.
I just was asking. Just some question.
But you know. I will say this. I'm going to always slant things towards the Texas Longhorns. Kyle likes the Texas Longhorns. But you remember when the 49ers drafted all those South Carolina players? Their head coach.
I do.
It's now Texas's DC. So just gotta let everybody know. So, like, and you always had the, you know, because Muschamp told John Lynch, like, Debo's gonna come back overweight. Here's the thing with Kinlaw. You gotta make sure he does this. And so they kept drafting all these South Carolina players because they trusted the head coach, Will Muschamp. Now he's the DC at Texas. So, and they run a similar scheme. So just get used to more Texas players. And Texas is gonna have the most players in the draft next year. So I'm just
for sure.
Throwing that out there.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. What's up? Khalil in the chat. I love it. Good late typically. That's okay. But we still leave a lot to be desired in rounds one through three. Mm. Well, the good news, no third round picks this year, but I do have a trade back scenario I want to run past you on today's show.
Thank you, God, though, right? Like, that might be a blessing in disguise. They really, maybe one pick in the third round they've gotten right since 2017. Fred Warner.
Yeah. Fred Warner, Upton
Stout. Dominic Pooney, Upton Stout. We don't know if Upton Stout is right. He's an awesome pick. Okay, hold up. Let's have this conversation. It's too early to assess Stout. I'm not going to put him in there yet. And do I love him? Absolutely.
I like him.
Dominic Pooney had a great rookie season, a terrible sophomore season. This would be the year. But Fred Warner,
I thought his tape was great the last couple months, though.
Like last couple months, bad. Because he got healthy. Injured. Yes, yes, yes. Health is wealth. But my point is, we still got to wait. We need to see him full health, full throttle, right guard, 2026. Now, as far as Stout, he's just undersized. That doesn't mean he's going to be bad or anything like that. I'm just curious of how much the NFL is going to be wear and tear on his body just because of his size and the way he plays. He plays big. So that could be a problem. And then we're going to be mad and we're going to be this. We're going to be like, oh, my God, he's not here. That's why I think they did some of these offseason moves, right? Stout's going to start. But now you got a guy like Hobbs that can play in the slot. You also got a guy like Jack Jones that can play in the slot now. So they're going to have better options if Stout isn't able to go. Stout is my start. Stout is the future. Stout is going to be Stout, no doubt about it. Top 100 player. And he might just be the steal of the draft last year. But I think it's still too early to tell about Stout.
That's fair. Now, well, let's get to this. And Golden kind of tees off kind of what I prepared. He says, with respect to most players, the last two drafts being, I don't know what THD means, to be determined. I think it's TBD is what he's going for. The Niners drafted most of their superstars the first 3 years. Warner, Kittle, Bosa, Debo, Demo, Greenlaw, Buckner, Armstead, etc. Are they drafting all pro type players? So
hold on. No, put that back up. I want to play the game.
Play
a game with this. I like this. I like when people go to the 49ers. I'm sorry if I don't know your first name. My apologies, but I know this name. Check this out. I like when you give us names because this puts things into retrospect, especially for me. So Warner, third round pick. Kittle, fifth round pick. Bosa, first round pick. Debo, second round pick. Demo, fifth. Fifth round pick fifth round pick. Greenlaw, fifth round pick. They did not draft Buckner and they did not draft Armstead.
Correct. They were here before Shanahan.
Then they damn near traded Buckner. So if you got questions now, John, about your rush crush player, now's the time. Because he mentioned Buckner. And so there's a reason. You know what I'm saying? So I like this Golden 49ers. They do find players that develop into all pro. These aren't just stars. These are all pros. The only name up here, names that weren't all pro, Demo, Greenlaw, from the players that they drafted.
Armstead, I don't think ever did. Did he?
They didn't draft him. No, but they didn't draft
him. Well said. Yeah. I like it. I mean, but Purdy would be the one I'd throw in there. Purdy has the highest. So let me just dive into a little analytical approach with kind of what I did. And then I want you to make sense of all this. I went by Pro Football Reference's weighted draft approximated value. Okay. What the hell does that mean? So I looked it up and how they figure it out. Basically, they evaluate draft picks by prioritizing their peak year versus longevity. And so how well they do, snaps, stats, statistical starts, all this stuff, whatever else. And so they attribute a number to every single player drafted. So what I did, because I'm an idiot, I compiled this table chart from Pro Football Reference, and then I threw it in and I calculated 32 teams using AI and calculators and all that fun stuff. And so I just wanted to see, where did every team rank per year over the last 5 years? And I just paid attention to the NFC West. I know I'm a crazy person. It's an issue. So last year was quite interesting because everybody always talks about how great the Rams were. Did you know the Rams had the worst return on their draft of any team? All 32. They finished dead last last year. They got a 6 AV score, which was dead last. Okay. Arizona had a 12 AV score, which was 28th. So you had two teams in your division, bottom five. The 49ers actually tied with the Seahawks. They both got a 16 AV score last year, which was 18th in the NFL. And so everybody's like, oh, Seahawks draft, Seahawks draft. Like, you tied with them last year. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I don't think a lot of people have that
vantage
point. This year's draft class was not bad. It was injured, but like you got a lot of production from a lot of different rookies throughout the season. Injuries kind of helped that take place. But you finished tied for first in your division with Seattle, mm-hmm. who won the damn Super Bowl. Like, mm-hmm. There's no way like I see 2025 as a bad draft. And then you go to 2024. This is where the Rams were dead last. They were first in 2024. They had the highest score by a wide margin. 49ers were eighth with the 49 score. Seattle was 17th, Arizona 19th. So I did this for every single year and I went and totaled it all up. And here were the results. Dead last, Arizona with the 136 score. 49ers finished third, which I think collectively there were some really bad drafts in there with the 183. Seattle second with the 199 and the Rams first with a 210. You're a lot closer to Seattle than you are Arizona, and there's a big gap. Like the Rams had some crazy years, even though they finished dead last. And so that's a five-year kind of total from what you've gotten from your draft prospects. You're right on the heels nipping at Seattle, but that Trey Lance trade really hurt because you lost all that draft capital. And yeah, didn't take that into account.
Right. Losing those first round picks for the next couple of years definitely hurt the 49ers. And I think we all know that. There's no point of crying over spilled milk. It happened. It's done. We know some people know why. Some people don't know why. It's fine. At the end of the day, that's over with and done with. We've been to the Super Bowl since then, and we still didn't win it. So you can miss me with that.
The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
At the end of the day, like, the Niners have been drafting well. It's just unfortunate that they remain, they stay injured. Like, I that's the issue. I had somebody said on my Instagram, and I try my hardest to reply to comments. It'd just be too damn many comments to reply to, right? But then something will pop up, and now it'll be like, oh, yeah, you should reply this one. And he says something about Trent. Well, it was about Trent Williams, and it was like, yo, we haven't won a Super Bowl with him and whatever like that. And I'm like, man, we didn't lose a Super Bowl because of Trent Williams. Like we just can't stay healthy. Like, even in that last Super Bowl in Vegas, bro, George Kittle got hurt at the end of the game, came out of the game and just messed the whole play up. I had to edit myself. It messed the whole play up? Like, just had a tight end in there not really knowing what he was doing. Can't even remember the tight end's name at this time because he was Buns. You know, on the team, Eric Saubert, maybe. Might have been him at the time. And boom, like one play jacked it up. And I guess you can look at it and say, oh, we should have called better plays, this, that, and the third. Man, it'd be weird how we lose. And we're losing because key players. That's the key. It's not even about being a superstar. It's a key player. The reason why I like last year's draft class, I won't call it a bust, and no one's talking about this, but a lot of those rookies, a lot of those young players got reps. That's the first time that draft picks got reps, like multiple reps, and they went heavily defense, and so that's what we needed. We needed these guys to get acclimated to the game quicker than later, right? I think it's going to happen with six picks. It's going to be the same way this year. They're going to rely on rookies and expect more defensive play. It might be 4-2 if they stay with six picks, because those defensive players, for me, are the ones that you could kind of plug and play in certain situations. They kind of develop a little bit better. And I think we got better developmental coaches as well. So I'm excited for this upcoming draft. I don't think the Niners have drafted bad. I just think they ended up in the worst possible scenarios. And it just looks like everyone else is knocking it through the park in their drafts. The numbers are really close. I mean, 183 to 210, that's not a huge gap. It's like 50 points.
Yeah.
It's not a huge gap.
And I mean, that's the thing. Like, the Rams are first or last. And so the question Yatsik asked us earlier, like, are the 49ers a swing for the fences draft team? No, the Rams are. The Rams swing for the fences every damn pick.
Every pick. And okay. Okay.
That's why you get guys like Stetson Bennett, and, you know, you get these guys that just don't play.
But be fair, the Rams did win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. They sure did, and everything went their way, and they stayed completely healthy and dropping interceptions and phantom PI calls on fourth down when the game would have ended. And
yeah,
like and I remember in the coaching world, we used to sit around and say, like, people would be like, are y'all good enough to win it all this year? Like, dude, so many things have to go right. Yes, we're good enough to win it right. The ball's got to bounce our way several times to be in that situation, because there's just so many quality good teams. Yeah.
You said that. So many things got to go in favor, right? Just think about the Niners being in the divisional round of the playoffs with all pros not on this roster due to injuries.
It made no sense, dude.
Zero sense. And
that roster the Eagles put on the field versus the 49ers, the Eagles should have won that game 9 out of 10
hands
times,
down.
They didn't.
Hands down. Coaching and will over Matt, like, will happen, right? Go to the next game. If the Niners would, before the playoffs, if the Niners could have just did anything more offensively, they would have been the number one seed. Who knows what the ship would have been written after that? The Niners season came down to the final game of the season. Go figure. And it was their worst offensive performance of the year. Yeah. Go figure. Defense held it down. They only gave up, 9 points, 10 points? Can't remember. But we couldn't score. So things just didn't go in the Niners' favor. And that one game could have changed the whole trajectory of the 49ers. You might have saw Fred Warner return in the playoff. Like, who knows? I just want to put that out there. I'm not crying over spilled milk. I'm just saying things just didn't go in the favor of the Niners. But those draft picks that we drafted, when their numbers were called on, they showed up. Even Jordan Watkins came in the game and caught a miraculous dope pass, right? Even Jordan James came in the game late in the season and ran with burst. We haven't seen that since 2024. Burst. Since the release of the Jordan Mason. Christian McCaffrey, I love him to death. The burst is gone, though. It's not the same. It's a little older burst.
It'll be highly effective, which we saw. It's just different. It doesn't look the same.
Absolutely.
Look at this. We got an awesome question from a man, Jack Cooley. What's up, Bowtie? Can't wait to hang out with you in Kansas City this year. Thank you for the super chat, my friend. He says, John, can you take 2 minutes and explain what void years means in a contract? I know a guy who doesn't know much, but he's too embarrassed to ask, so it's for him and not me. Very well said. Void years is a new way for teams to manipulate the cap. You will hear lots of people refer to it as an interest-free loan. The anticipation is the NFL salary cap continues to go up every single year. And so you are borrowing against the future to help your team now because there is absolutely no penalty. Also, it is a way to just spread everything out so that you are more manageable. The 49ers roll over some of the most extra cap space every single year. Void years is a way that they do that because they would rather have a $4 million cap hit 5 years from now than right now. And again, a void year is a contract year for a player when they will not play for you. So, for example, in our current state, Trent Williams, this is the last year of his deal. However, he has like four void years. So he will still be getting paid for the 49ers in future years. Now they're redoing the deal and it's complex and all that stuff. But whenever you redid and kept adding all those void years every single time you redid Trent's deal, now you're kind of sitting behind it because there's so much dead money on this contract already, borrowing from the future, kicking the can down the road, interest-free loan. You'll hear lots of people describe them as those. It's just a way to manipulate the cap. The cap is very real. The 49ers are one of the highest void year teams. So are the Eagles. So are the Rams. So are Seahawks, not so much with their new regime, but a lot of very successful teams do this. The 49ers are one of the most aggressive with that. Wayne, anything you want to add on the void year conversation?
No, man, it's just the way the Niners do business and nothing really to worry about. I mean, I feel like I don't worry about that stuff. I feel like Parag and those guys, they work out the numbers. They get it done. When it seems like we don't have any money, we have money. And this is a way, manipulating the language of the cap, right? This is how they do it. And this is what business is all about, especially in the football world. So if I were you, I wouldn't even figure it out. I would just rock out. And focus on the things we can focus on, because at the end of the day, shit happens.
Rock out with your Brock out. Let's go. All right. Jax, the best ever. Look at this, man. Appreciate the super chat, the generosity. Just wanted to send love and good energy to all my faithful family. Oh, look at that. We got all the cool emojis, heart hands, all that stuff. Jax, you have made our lives much better. And very thank you. Very thankful for you and what you bring to this community. Man, yes, being a fan should be fun and enjoyable. And Jax is the like embodiment of that. And I am jealous. I'm trying to be better. Try to be more positive. Try to be.
Ultimate fan.
All right. I got a question for you. I've been waiting to ask this for a while. In one of your most recent draft, I think it was draft mock draft 9.0, you had the 49ers staying in the second round, pick 58, taking AJ Hawsey, safety.
Ooh.
This is a rush crush.
This is the rush crush player. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you got a couple of them.
I didn't know which draft you were talking about. I like this one because he's never, ever been available. Okay. Yeah,
talk to me. Why do you like him so much? They don't even like safeties. They don't value him.
No. He's a different, okay, same body type, same kind of like Malik Mustafa, kind of like that same build. I think he's a little bit more faster, has a little bit more range, and he's just a little bit more smarter. And he's a better coverage safety too. And I know we're looking for a ball hawk, so you're not gonna get the ball hawk from him, but you're gonna get a great safety value depth that I think and this system can be the ball hawk because he has the speed, he has the range, he has the athleticism, he has that physicality. You talk about a guy that shows up with pop. He's kind of like Dante Whitner. Like that's the pop. Like you're gonna get hit. You're gonna get hit hard, right? So expect the ball to come jarring out. I don't know, man. I just miss those types of safeties in football. And this is not just around the line of scrimmage. This is in coverage. So if you come across the middle of the field, you best protect your neck because that ball's coming out once he lays those shoulder pads and zero penalties, right? Like he's not getting penalized. He understands how to hit in today's football. That's a safety. It's kind of like John Lynch, like athleticism, hard hitting, and this kind of like how he plays. So I like AJ Hawsey, man.
Oh, he's so fun, man. My biggest issue with him is just he's too big.
Like, he's big. He's a big guy.
At 225. He came to the combine 215, and it's like, all right, we want you to slim down a little more. He ran a 4.5, like 4.52.
I'm cool with that. That'll be the second fastest safety. That right there. So understanding his angles, these are things we're talking about. These are instincts. Understanding the geometry of playing safety, he has it. So he's not the ball hawk, right? You're not going to get the interceptions, but I guarantee you, if the opportunity of interceptions presented itself, I trust him coming down with the ball. Like, that's a guy. So you're not going to get 4.3 speed from him like Siegel, but it'll be a good safety to have in the room.
Here's
one of the smartest ones.
A quote on AJ Halsey from an NFL scout. Kid loves ball, loves getting better, maybe more than anyone in that program, end quote. And like, if you watch any of the LSU defense, it's a disaster except for like two studs, Mansoor Delane and AJ Halsey.
Oh gosh, yeah. Like, the DBs from LSU this year.
Whew. Is it Dwayne Akina that coached them?
I'm not sure.
Dude, that's like Dwayne Akina is like he's the longtime Texas DB coach. He coached Earl Thomas, Michael Huff, you know, like all those bad boys.
That's a he's bigger than Earl Thomas though. This guy is big.
Different player.
But he hits like a safety.
Would you be upset if they took him in the second round? I think it's a little too premium, but man, nah. I love him.
Nah. I wouldn't be upset because of the ceiling you're going to get from this player. Remember, and at some point, the Niners got to look at some of these best players available. You know, it's not just about fit. You know, they need to get some talent on this team that can put the team on their back one day, one game. You know what I'm saying? That's a kid that I know that will play the game the right way. He's coachable, right? And the fact that he's eager and willing to learn, that says a lot. So he's teachable, and that's key. Like, that's key. Now, don't get it twisted. There's some safeties that I love in this draft, but he's one of them. He's one of my top five safeties. I just feel like he would be phenomenal in red and gold. Mm. And what's the one thing I want on defense? Turnovers. I don't give a fuck what the turnover is. I don't care if it's a fumble. I don't care if it's an interception. Just get the goddamn turnover. Get the ball back to Purdy so he can rock out with his Brock out.
10 career interceptions, 4 career forced.
That's more than Bud Clark,
19,
right?
Yes, it's up there, man.
Bud Clark had 9. He has 10. So yeah. Sounds like a ball hawk to me.
Yeah, he 100%.
Trying to get my headphones
in that
right.
Category.
Without messing up my hat.
Dude, I'm
trying to be like John and have some real fucking headphones. I got real headphones, John, and I hear myself so much clearer. Like, it's crazy.
You sound amazing. You always do. Your audio is always on point. But like, my dog scratches at my door like a lot of times, and so like I have to have these where I can't hear it. Like,
gotcha.
So like I you'll see me do this a lot of times because I'm trying to get like that. I'm trying to block it all out. I don't want to hear nothing. We working over here. Look at this, Kimbrough, my man. It is wonderful to see your name in the chat. Thank you for your generosity.
This
brother.
Was funny. This is why I was laughing earlier.
Yeah.
You talking.
Bad news, JLC and WB. The 49ers met with a punter privately.
Yeah. Ugh. Ain't no. We ain't drafting a punter or a kicker. He will be an undrafted guy. And I don't mind signing an undrafted free agent as a punter to come in and compete. I just don't mind.
Oh, it's same. Yeah. Undrafted free agent. Yes. Every punter and kicker for the history of time should all be priority free agents. I'm trying to change my verbiage from undrafted free agent to priority free agent because, like,
well, then an NFL needs to change their verbiage because it's been undrafted since I was 2. Yeah, that's
trying.
A tough one.
I'm not successful thus far, but
okay.
Like
priority free agent, we'll get it right.
I've been bad, but I really like. Bring in a kicker, a long snapper, and a punter every single year.
Yeah,
like I'm cool with that.
Yeah, why not? And it's for
never
competition.
A draft pick. And again, here's my rationale. If you have a 1 in 100 chance of a 7th-round pick becoming Brock Purdy, then you use the damn 7th-round pick every single time on a quarterback or a position. Mitch Wisnowski, dude, you drafted Dre Greenlaw a round later. Are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? Yeah. Like, you don't throw away draft picks on specialists. I just don't believe in that. Yeah, I even felt the similar way to Junior Bergen whenever they draft him and said, yeah, he's just going to be a returner only. Like, dude, you already took him out of the wide receiver room already. Like, it was kind of a throwaway pick. You don't have those this year unless you do a trade. Even if the 49ers trade back and get an additional 7th, still would piss me off to no end if you drafted a punter. It is asinine. It is stupid. It is a waste. Anyway. And I don't like refs. And I don't like refs. All right. Another guy I want to talk about. The 49ers recently met with defensive tackle Chris McClellan from Missouri. I've got a fourth round grade on him. I've seen some as high as third round on him. Mock Draft Database has him as a 114th player on their consensus big board across all, you know, professional whatevers. What do you think about the defensive tackle from Missouri, Chris McClellan?
I noticed something that the Niners are going after high motor guys, and I'm all for it. You want a guy that doesn't take a playoff? This is a guy. This is a guy with a motor, kind of like CJ West. I feel like he has that same type of motor. He's just going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and just never take that playoff. And I think when you look at the defensive tackle position, we just need more of those guys, right? Because at some point, the sacks are going to come. At some point, the pressures are going to be there because these guys just don't take plays off. And this is all about rotation, right? So this is all about a guy that's going to come in, spell a play, give a fresh energy and off of rotation, come in off the bench, boom. Just imagine like an offensive line getting worn out. You got a fresh guy that just likes to chomp up at the power pellets. And next thing you know, he comes in and he gets a sack. This is what you need. The Niners need better rotative pieces. Bump them old ass guys. They be going to get in free agency. Get these young players to come in that got good get off and that plays with a high motor. I think that will serve, you know, serve the 49ers defensive front. He's a high motor guy.
Yeah, I like him. Now, and I'm with Logan right here. I would much rather have Zane Durant or
another high motor guy. Yeah.
I like both of those guys more than McClellan. Now, whenever you're looking at meetings, it doesn't mean that that's their favorite. A lot of time it's to answer a question, whether that's a medical, whether it's a character off the field, work ethic, personality, whatever, when you get those things. So just because you see question marks or meetings, that doesn't mean that they love that player over the other ones. Now back to Kimbrough, because this was in my notes as well. When the 49ers have met with five players from the same position group for the past five consecutive years, they have drafted someone from that position group in the Shanahan era. And guess what? They brought in five wide receivers. Guess what? They brought in, I think, four edge guys. Like, those are the two positions that they are going after. I have been screaming from the mountaintops that edge and wide receiver will most likely be the first and second pick for the 49ers. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, same thing. Whoever is best available, whether it's the wide receiver that they feel like they can't get in round two, I feel like the edge class is a little bit more deep. And so if you're looking for just a speed guy, they're probably going to spend their first round pick on that wide receiver, whoever that wide receiver is. But if an edge fell that they weren't expecting to fall, that they feel like could come in, like, let's just play the hypothetical game. Let's just say Reuben Bain Jr. is sitting there at 27.
Ooh.
Because he 27. Fell. Because he fell due to the measurables, the short arms, and then the off-the-field stuff, right? Like, I know his name is Reuben, and I know his last name, yeah, he's a Bane. Listen, it'd be hard to pass up on a Reuben Bane Jr. I don't care about the short arms. This dude is productive. He's an edge. He's good against the run. He can rush the passer. Like, I wouldn't pass if he's sitting there. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's ideal he'll be there at 27, but this is a scenario where if he's there, he might go edge here. And then you might go look for a Chris Bell, somebody they didn't have a top 30 visit with, but they're interested in it. Like, there's specific guys. Like, Chris Bell is, to me, a Kyle Shanahan wide receiver. He's Debo Samuel-esque, big, better hands, better route running, probably a little bit faster.
He's a better receiver.
Better receiver, that's what I mean. Only thing is, returning from an ACL. Like, is he worth the second round pick?
We talk about injuries, you know?
Right.
And now you're going to go draft.
That's the hard part. Yeah.
I would be happy if they took Chris Bell. Yeah. I don't buy into the ACLs aren't what they used to be. There are some issues. So, like, you look at Jermaine McCoy, who is over 450 days away from an ACL.
That dude didn't even play last year, right?
Yeah. And barely worked out. Like, that's different.
Well, he's Chris Bell, a top pick, though.
Yeah, he is. But, I mean, that's a medical flag that I'm kind of, I mean, he's 20 and probably going to be all right. But, like, man, 450 days post
ACL? That's a lot of days, John. That's over a year and some change.
And we don't get the medical stuff. We don't get that. So, like, we're in the dark there. Now, I want to stick with your idea about what if Reuben Bain fell. And we could throw it. Here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody that if they fell to, let's say, 21, that you would be willing to trade up to go get, a fourth this year and a fourth next year, plus our first rounder to jump up kind of 4 to 5 spots. Like, who is that short list of guys? I've got about 6 names that I'd be
give me your names and I'll tell you if I agree or disagree. How about we do it like that?
Sonny Styles. I would trade up for him and let absolutely him play that edge.
That's not even a question in my mind. Worst comes worst,
your will next year when Dre Greenlaw leaves.
There you go. Either way, you fill the 2 positions. Go ahead.
Caleb Downs. Oh, that's a long pause. That's a long pause. I love Caleb Downs.
Okay. I don't know if I would trade up for him.
Okay. Carnell Tate.
Yes.
Yeah. Monroe Freeland. I love Monroe Freeland.
I don't know if I would trade up from Monroe Freeland. Love him.
Can't play guard. He can't play guard.
It's just a tackle. But I don't know if I would trade up for him because if Trent wasn't here, I would trade up for him. How about that?
Right. I think Monroe Freeland is going to go top 10, and I'm going to bet.
Absolutely. Him and a guy that I'm not going to mention because y'all don't like him. I think those guys are
Jalen Proctor.
Those are the first 2 offensive linemen that go in this draft over Francis Malagoa because he's dealing with a back injury.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah, the extra medical check again. And you've got Detroit out there. There's the floor for Caden Proctor 17. They're broadcasting to the world. They're taking Caden Proctor.
Yeah, he's going.
he's gone. That's the lowest he will go. They're kicking Penesua over to left tackle. They already said
that's where he belongs.
Yeah. I think that's what they're going to do. Monsieur Delane, my cornerback.
It's not a question in my. Yeah. You can kick everybody else over. At the end of the day, and I love Demo, but at the end of the day, man, if you needed Demo, you could always play in the slot. There's another versatile guy that you have, so that's a lockdown corner.
That's my last one. Maybe Vega.
Okay.
I don't want to trade up for a guard, but he's that good.
He's that good. He's that good. If he's there, I don't want to trade up. I'm already mad we only got 6 picks. Now we're going to have 4 to 5 picks? No. Yeah. Damn, it's going to be a short-lived draft. But if these guys are available, because Mansoor, he's coming off of an injury too, but he worked out and he was fast and he was good. His tape is great.
Yeah. I would trade it for those guys. Look at this. He says, I trade it for Jeremiah Love in a heartbeat. He's awesome. I value guard so much more. I value safety more than running back. Jeremiah Love's amazing, though. I just don't think that's the thing. I don't think there's a chance my list is okay. Every one of these guys, I could see a reason why they maybe could.
Right.
Jeremiah Love's not getting passed.
Jeremiah Love should be a top 5 pick. I'll leave it at that.
But he's cool with that.
He's that guy.
I'd trade up for him, but
I don't know if I would because we still have CMC. And that now you want to get him on the football field. That means I need a different direction role for CMC if I traded up for Jeremiah Love.
Is there any other name that I did not throw out there that you're
no?
I would trade up
I'm glad him. You mentioned Vinga. I'm glad you mentioned him because he's still to me the best guard in this draft, and he moves mountains. And there's some guys you can get in round 4, but that's plug and play round 1, ready to go. And the biggest need to me still on the offensive line is the guard spot. I know we want to upgrade the center. I get it. But the need, I don't know if I trust Robert Jones. I think we should have stayed away from Robert Jones. He's returning from this neck injury, back, whatever. I don't know how I feel about it. But maybe he'll prove me wrong. They definitely went veterans on the offensive line. But if Vinga, if he's available, oh, man, that makes it tough. It's one of those guys that I wouldn't trade, but if he fell to 27, I hand a card in.
Yeah, I like it. Well, real quick, the next question that I got for you is a trade back scenario, which I
now we're talking.
Everybody's more excited.
It's more realistic.
We're going to get to that right after this. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, NINERS, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. 49ers Rush road trip is going down under. The 49ers and Rams play in Australia to open up the 2026 season, and we got you covered. We are now taking deposits in a partnership with X Hospitality and True Fan Travel. All you have to do is go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, and you can sign up right there and get your deposit in. It's $499 deposit, but here's the kicker. Fully refundable all the way until the end of May, which that's going to give you several weeks after the official announce of the schedule. But we're trying to build this out and make sure that we have spots for everybody that is serious about going. So, however, if we fill up our spots and you didn't get your deposit in, then I hate to say it, probably not going to be able to travel with us. We're covering direct flights from San Francisco all the way to Melbourne. We've got 4-star hotels. We're all going to be staying together. I can't announce that until the NFL announces. They've got a lot of red tape on that. Game tickets, which is going to be very difficult to get game tickets for this international game. It's the first game ever in Australia. We got you. We got transportation to and from the game. We have all-inclusive tailgate before the game. We have a rally the day before the game with a former player. We'll announce that later. We're going to the wildlife refuge. We've got wine tasting and dinners covered. We've got you. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Go ahead and check it out. Make sure you like it. And again, if you're one of those people that's like, I'm not coming from San Francisco, we have non-flight options. So if you just want to meet us there, that is there as well. If you want to stay longer than the 7 days that we're going, you do the non-flight option, fly out on your own. You join us for the week of the game. We have everything covered. Everybody is welcome to come, all ages included. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, get your deposit in now, and make sure you save your spot for this legendary event, 49ers Rush Road Trip. And if you have any questions, just go to the site, fill out the contact list with, hey, can I do this? It's on the site. They will get your questions answered. And if they don't, email me. 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. I will get you your answers. Do not miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime event. Oh, got to highlight the man, Big Tone. Member for 18 months on YouTube. Thank you so much, man. Means the absolute world. Appreciate all that you guys do. Your generosity is incredible. Uncle Salty, my man, says, what happens in Vegas, John? You are the man, Salty. Love you, brother. He says, greetings for Pacific Northwest. Would you trade any 2027 picks for the right prospect or not? What about you, Wayne? I want to keep 2027 picks as much as possible. That draft is going to be much, much more better in almost all ways. I'm pretty excited about it. So if somebody crazy falls that you're super high on, I wouldn't mind it, but I'm talking about giving up a fourth rounder, like maybe a third rounder, but like that's even still, I'm just like, ooh, no. I mean, we don't have a third round in this draft, and it drives me nuts.
It drives us nuts because of the prospects that are going to be available. It's just so funny, right? You know, like last year, the third round, maybe we got some gems, especially with Stout. We're still trying to see what Nick Martin is going to be. I thought that was a bad pick. I'm not going to lie. Because that was our second, third round pick, if I'm not
first
mistaken.
First, third rounder.
Second. Okay. So, like, you had two picks and one didn't play and the other one looked like he could potentially become an all pro, right? And so now, but the talent this year in the third round is ridiculous. And next year is probably going to be even more ridiculous because it's just going to be that much more talent. Hard to move on from those third or fourth round picks because you got to keep your top 100 picks intact. I'm all for that. I mean, and trading your only third rounder this year for Oso Digizua, I mean, yeah, we were hoping that makes sense. We're hoping that makes sense because, to be honest, you're looking at some defensive tackles that you could have probably gotten a third round. Not proven in the NFL, but even this McClellan guy, he probably could have been a third-round pick.
Yeah, I think you can get him in the third. You can get a lot of these. There are some defensive tackles that are in the third, fourth round that are going to be available. The thing that the 49ers seem to have done this offseason is say we want proven and consistent performers. And that's Mike Evans, and that's Osa, and that's Dre Greenlaw. And they're like, that's what they've gone after. And so they wanted those. And so we'll see there. Paul says, man, anyone heading to Pittsburgh next week for the draft? I heard you're going out there, man. I freaking love it, Paul.
Paul's going to Pittsburgh? That's what's
that's
up.
What I heard. That's what Nick was saying, man. I freaking love it.
Man, Pittsburgh, out there. Pittsburgh is cool, man. It's a slow town. You okay? It's slow.
I like it.
You know, it's too slow for me. You know, I'm a city guy. It's not a city. But it's a cool town, so enjoy it, man. If there's a sandwich place you got to go check out. Can't think of the name of it off the top of my head.
Ooh.
And their sandwiches are pretty good. Just can't think of the name of it. But check it out if you're out there. Type in Pittsburgh sandwich place, and it'll pop up, and, you know, they're pretty good.
All right, let's get to this. Joel, he says, man, please trade back. We need more picks. And Kimbrough, I'm not opposed to trade back. So here we go. I know 49ers fans hate the Chiefs.
Pamontis. God dang it. Ben knows everything.
Oh, there we go. Nailed it.
I knew when I saw the name I was going to notice it. Sorry. Go ahead.
He's an East Coaster, man. That's his thing, which I'm not sure Pittsburgh fits East Coast. They're Midwest. They're like in between everything. They're just
Wait, is that a different time zone? I don't remember.
They're Eastern.
So they're Eastern. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, they're Eastern. All right. So here's my question. 49ers hate the Chiefs, but I did find an exact draft pick value trade between the Chiefs. It's a little bit further trading back than a lot of people like. 49ers have pick 27. You trade all the way back to pick 40.
I'm cool with that.
In the second round. So you're dropping back 13 picks.
I would drop back a little deeper.
But you get their third rounder. So you get their second and third pick 40 and 74. You're giving up pick 27 and pick 133. It is 720 points gained, 719.5 points given. So, I mean, it's an exact perfect whatever. You fall back 13 picks from your first pick, but you jump up 60 from the fourth round into the third round.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Like, are you all right with that?
Absolutely. There's another team that, like, is it the Saints? Who has like the 45th pick?
Here's KC. 45th pick is Baltimore.
No, keep going.
The Saints have 42.
Damn, that's the team.
You like that? You like that spot? 42.
I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go greater than that. Like, you know, I wouldn't go.
Oh, that's your cutoff.
Yeah, that's my cutoff. So that's what, 17 spots? Because you said the Chiefs was 15 spots.
Yeah, it's but, a 13 drop. You drop 13 spots.
13. But you move way the hell up and you got
60.
60. Yeah. So it's no brainer because now, you know, you do that. Now you could look at some guys like Art Mason Thomas. You can look at some wide receivers that you're just not used to seeing on the board. Like, you know,
I think Art Mason goes second round.
But we're talking second round. You're talking 40 something, right? Yeah. You're talking 40, 42. Think that's the round where he's going to go, right? That's where you need him. That's why we need that. And then you still get 58, so you can still address and get a nice wide receiver at that pick as well. And then you get a third rounder. So if you need to address the offensive line in the third round, you can get a guy like Keelan Rutledge, those mean guards. I think Chase Besantis I feel like he's a third rounder, but you got guys drafting him in the first round. I don't see him as a first rounder, but if he's there, it's all about getting mean up front. Guys that are good in run blocking. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, man. And you just look at this draft and you're talking about DDS, Max Clair, Grayson Halton, like Antonio Williams, who the 49ers met.
Oh, with the Clemson guy.
Romello Hyde, Ted Hurst. Like, there's so many guys there. Skylar Bell, Oscar Delp. Like, these are a lot of guys you're not going to get a chance to get with your current 27, 57, 58, and then fourth round. Like, you're missing. What's the drop from pick 58 to 127? You're waiting 70 picks. 70.
Bro, we can go start a franchise restaurant during that time and serve about 150 orders before our next pick. That's crazy. Like, day three, we missed a whole third round, right? Fourth round, basically, because we start at day three is 4 through 7. That's crazy. Ugh. That means, oh, man, I can't. 127. It was fine when you had that third round pick. 127 looked good. I'm not mad. I'm not mad at trading the third round pick.
Having four fourth rounders is incredible.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Like, so I'm not mad at that.
You traded your fifth, sixth, and seventh up to get, like, so, like, that's great. But, man, I want,
but it
I
just
want more
seems
than six.
This is that one draft where the money round is like 3 and 5. Those are your money rounds. And we have no third or fifth round picks. Go figure.
Kyle's going to say those fourth round comp picks are fifth round picks, though. You know that.
Okay.
That's you know fair. He's going to say. He's like, I always see him as fifth round picks.
That's fair.
He always does. You remember whatever he said when we traded three first round picks for Trey Lance? He's like, no, we did it. We traded two.
Right. Two. Right. Yeah.
You gave up three. Kyle's.
I don't question.
Goalposts, and I love it, man.
I don't question Kyle's, you know, judgment when it comes to certain things because it's his way. It's just his way.
It's more of his sanity that I would question. But here's his approach to that. Here's his answer.
I understand. I don't think you understand.
Well, I understand, but I don't think you understand. So, Kyle, how about you explain it the way you understand it, Kyle? I mean, you're obligated. I mean, you signed up for the job. Answer the goddamn question, Kyle, so okay, I can understand it.
Here's his answer to you. Ready?
That makes no sense. I'm sorry.
We'll make it okay. I got comebacks. Well, Kyle, make it make sense to Wayne Breezy. Damn it, because that's the issue. See, I'm the type of person, right? If you can't make it make sense to me, you failed, right? And some, I want to get it. I want to learn. I want to understand the mind. Everybody has a beautiful mind. I want to understand it. That way I could be like, you're right, you're wrong. I can have my own personal, you know, Kyle, I don't know what the fuck you be talking about, bro. So how about you just do a better job at explaining yourself, bro? That's it. Not much to ask.
I think you would, but he likes to piss certain people off that are.
Oh.
They're asking questions, which is frustrating that he kind of plays into that. But like, that's just kind of my own personal take, but like, whatever.
Listen, I'm not saying Kyle can't do any wrong. I do. That's my coach. I love my coach. I'm going to support my coach. I'm going to defend my coach. That's my coach. I know a lot of people want Kyle Shanahan gone. We haven't won a Super Bowl. I get it. But Kyle is the coach. And, you know, unfortunate things just happen to where we can't overcome certain adversity. We name a coach in the NFL that's had to deal with more adversity than Kyle Shanahan since he's been a head coach.
Injuries alone, the Trey Lance trade, Reuben Foster. I mean, good.
Even
Lord.
If you some of COVID, that stuff is his,
they closed our stadium down. They couldn't even play.
We had to play in Arizona, else. John.
Yeah, remember that? You got two freaking overseas trips in 1 year. Like, there's a lot there. There's a lot there.
That's tough. But at the end of the day, I still need Kyle to man up and take accountability. I think that's what it is. I think that's my issue.
What do you think of this? And, you know, I like Malachi Lawrence.
Not in 27.
You don't like Malachi Lawrence at 27 from Uncle Salty. Why not?
I think this would be he's not a premium player. And the speed is his thing. The pass rush win rate is there. But at 27, that's too rich for my blood. I feel like it's probably going to happen. So. But I would take the kid from Texas A&M.
Oh, yeah.
Over Malachi.
Oh, yeah.
At 27.
Big time. Malachi Lawrence, I have a second round grade on. He's my 30th overall player. I don't think it would be a giant reach. I wouldn't be upset with it because it's a need and a premium position.
Yeah, I wouldn't be upset.
His tape is consistent. He does have two shoulder surgeries. That is a little bit of a thing, but he's played through it.
But he's played.
He's played. Yeah. But. Yeah, that's a little concerning. I like him, but I'd be okay with it because of the position and how valuable it is, and he's a scheme fit, and I like the kid, and I like the tape. I do like him, but...
I mean, like it's just like... those second-round edge rushers are dope, right? I feel like there's three or four guys. Maybe five. Here would be my five guys. I probably change this shit every week. Here would be the five guys I think the Niners could target in round two. I think Cassius Howell will be a first round pick. And if they decide to go wide receiver in the first round, okay. So now second round, look for the edge. But Malachi Lawrence, right? I believe he would be up there. I would take R. Mason Thomas over him, right? So Mason Thomas would be one. Lawrence would be two. Derek Moore, three. Joshua Joseph's four from Tennessee, And then I would take freaking Romello Height from Texas Tech. Those would be my top five round two targets at the edge position.
I like all those agree. Guys. Yeah. Now, you didn't say Gabe Backus.
I didn't say Yakus. You didn't say
Danny Dennis Sutton. You don't have them in that second round grade.
They do have second round grades, but those guys that I mentioned would be the top five for the Niners.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that. I love that.
But Yakus is a second rounder. You know, TJ Parker might fall to the second round. Would you take him?
Dude, I think TJ Parker goes early, but I have a second round.
I do too, but he may fall, is what I'm saying, due to inconsistency on film.
There's like, a lot. There's so many edge guys there.
It's a tough. I think they got to get it right. Right.
The Niners need an edge or wide receiver to fall to the second round. Like, that is the perfect world. So, like, if you go wide receiver in round one, hopefully an edge falls. If you go edge in round one, hopefully a wide receiver falls, because I think you're going to have better chances for a wide receiver to fall, because there's really? More third round wide receivers. There's,
you think
I,
so?
I have the most third round wide receivers I've ever graded. I've been doing this 10 years. I have one, okay. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay. That's dope. I didn't think it. I wasn't thinking of it from that perspective. I was saying, so I'm thinking of a pure talent, pure fit, speed, and that situation. So I'm saying to myself, yeah, there's going to be wide receivers that may fall to the third round, but if you miss out on the edge guys early, I think you just got to take the edge. Like, you got to get the edge that the Niners want. Even if it's at pick 27 or 50, like, you got to get the edge at one of those two picks. I would be okay if they took a wide receiver like, I don't know. Who do you think? Like Skylar Bell, if he fell to the third round, that would be great.
I love Skylar Bell, man.
From UConn?
If they took Skylar Bell in the first round, I wouldn't be upset. I think it's a reach, and I think it shouldn't be done.
6 feet tall.
I have a way higher grade on him than I did Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, right. Right. But kind of plays the Ricky Pearsall role. That's the funny part.
I think you play everything, man.
He does.
I think Skylar Bell could play anything.
But where does he come in now and play? Like that's the thing. And I feel like he would play Evans on the X. I think he would battle out with Rick. And I'm for it. I'm all for that. If you draft a wide receiver in the first round, I expect him to be on the football field. I think Kyle Shanahan is changing the wide receiving philosophy, I hope. Because it's tough. But I think he's realizing he needs talent on the football field.
Look at this. I think that I love this comment from Chris.
No.
Chris, Mr. 49ers. What do you think about trading 27 to the Jets for 33 and 103? Now, no. You're losing points. And so you're trading back, but nobody wants to trade back. You have to have two to tango. So, like, for the people that are like, trade back at all costs, you are getting back. You're giving up 680 points. You're getting back 640 in this trade. I just calculated it. Like, you're losing. 40 points is equivalent to our pick 133. So you're losing essentially a fourth round value, but is it worth it to fall back and get that extra high end fourth round pick?
No.
You're just saying no, no matter what.
No, this is not. No, if the Jets had a third round pick, yes, they don't. I'm not trading back out of the first round. Go ahead.
Okay, so let me be John Lynch, or let me be what, or I'll be the Jets guy. Which, sorry, I'm going to dumb myself down. We'll throw in next year's fourth as well.
See, that changes the game. So that changes. That changes it. That changes the game.
Yeah.
That changes the game a lot.
Well, hold on. I spoke too soon. My owner said I can't do it. What about a 2027 fifth rounder? We can do that.
Absolutely not.
Up right now. No.
No.
Really?
No.
Fifth rounder?
No. No. I'm moving back. Out of the first round, I'm losing fifth-year option value. I'm only going to – my first pick is going to be 58, and then on top – 33, excuse me, and then 58. And then I don't – just to get a 103 pick, no. If it was a top – if it was pick 100, yeah. If it was pick 99,
they don't have a sixth or seventh round pick.
They don't.
So you can't finesse any of this stuff.
The Jets are tough to trade with. That's why I say no. It's a tough team to trade with.
They're just so dumb. But the Jets do hold, man, yeah.
Unless you go into 2027.
Fifth rounder. So right now, take it or do it. Yeah, 33-103 and a fifth rounder next year.
No, I'll take a fourth and a fourth.
I can't do
and
it.
And a
man.
Second.
My owner going to fire me. Gonna get fired anyway, Eric.
You're gonna get fired after 2 years anyway.
You're going to the promised land with Geno Smith.
Oh my gosh.
Jeez, I can't believe he said that.
They might trade up to draft a quarterback, though. That's why they wanted to make this trade. I like that idea. That's good for it's good for them. I don't think it's great for the Niners. Do you? Like, honestly. I mean, you talk about value points. I just don't want to trade out of the first round without getting a top 100 pick. I'm sorry.
So 103 does not meet that need.
It kind of does because of compensatory picks, but that's reaching.
All right. So here, okay, let's look at this then, okay? Let's look at, this is mock draft database, okay? So and this is a little bit, whatever. Let's just talk about Cassius Howell, okay? Cassius Howell, the edge rusher, is there at 27. Okay, so you can take Cassius Howell, or you can trade back with the Jets. Let's flesh it out. So you fall back to pick 33, and let's say I'm going to give you some names, and you tell me kind of who you like. Max Ionachor, Chris Johnson, Chase Besantis.
I like all three of them.
Pick one of those three. I don't care which one.
I feel like Ionachor would be a guy. And Besantis would be a guy like.
So here, Devin Moore is pick 105. Emmett Johnson, 106.
I like him.
Jalen
too.
Everett, 108. Sam Roush, 109. That's their thing. So, like, would you rather have Malachi Lawrence and pick one of those names I threw out there second? Like, which was it? Sam Roush, Jalen Everett, Emmett Johnson, Devin Moore, Jacoby Lane, Jake Slaughter, any of those guys? If we're going Besantis or whatever, it don't matter.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't trust the talent past that third round, bro.
Somebody gonna fall. Somebody gonna fall.
But we don't know who. We don't know. That's what makes it hard. People fall every year, but that's what makes it hard. Like, if we knew who was gonna fall, we don't know which positions are gonna have a run. We don't know which teams are gonna reach. We the next show we do next week, which teams need quarterbacks? That's the conversation we should have next. Right. Which teams are really looking to trade up? Maybe Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, big time.
Arizona.
Dude, they got three weird ones.
Who's their quarterback, bro? They just traded Kyler Murray.
They're tanking on purpose, though. Next year, Demontre Moore, you know, Arch, Lenora Sellers.
Okay, so they'll build their defense. They'll continue to build their defense then. Okay. Or they might draft a running back.
Yeah. Justin, right here, I think the difference between 27 and 33 is small. It is, but that fifth-year contract option is not. That is such a huge piece.
That was the first thing I said. And it's the funniest thing, though, Justin. I can't tell you when Niners have even used that shit. Like, not under this regime.
Just when they contract extend.
Extend. Right. I mean, did they use it on DA? Felt like they used it, but he was getting the extension at the same time, so they really didn't use it.
The only one that they used and let walk was Mike McGlinchey. They used that and then let him walk.
Okay.
That was the only one where it was like standalone fifth-year option. Gotcha. Bosa got extended. Let's see here. Ayuk got extended, obviously. I think that might be it. Because
they don't use it.
Yeah. Trey Lance, obviously not. Kenlaw did not.
They didn't. That was their first round pick that year, the BA. They were going to use it on BA, but they got the contract done.
Yeah, so I would say for the first 4 years, the trade back would be worth it. That fifth year, man, is such a cost-saving measure. I don't know.
Especially the position you draft, right? Because that's the money.
They're going to draft premium. I don't think they're going to draft safety. I don't think they're going to draft a guard.
There you go. And so that right there is like, they would save a lot of money on that position. You know, going into that fifth year. So,
more money.
Yeah. It's tough, man. It's tough. I do feel next week, I just feel like John is going to cook. I feel like he's going to cook this draft, bro.
That'd be awesome.
It would be much needed.
They got such a good roster right now, man. If you just get some supplemental pieces and some future bright spots, six picks going to be hard.
It's going to be tough. Got to get it. Six picks. Six shooter. John's going to go in there with a six shooter, knock them all out.
That's right.
I'm with it.
Pick six time, baby.
Pick six.
Let's go. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us here. Wayne, you are a legend. Thank you so much for your time, all that you do for the community. You are the best of the best. For everybody else, you are incredible. And until next time, as always, stay strong, faithful. We out.